Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As you can see behind me, the message of today's sermon is vision. That's what I'm going to be preaching on today. I'm going to share with you a whole bunch of stuff. It's kind of like a four-point sermon, but I get through the points pretty quick, and then, you know, then it's just preaching from there. So, I'm excited to share this with you. It's been something that challenged me in my own life, something that I went through, wandering. I seem to do both of those at the same time sometimes. But wondering, God, what do you got for me? Show me, reveal to me, and all these different things. And so I'm just going to talk about vision this morning, all right? And we're going to start off in Scripture. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the rack below your seat or around you somewhere. Or if your neighbor smells good, just share with them. Yeah, we're going to get started in Scripture. I'm excited. I made a PowerPoint today, as you could tell. Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. I'll try not to get too distracted by it. But this message, I believe, is ultra important for all Christians. New and old. I believe this is something that can be challenging, yet is essential to living life. It's essential to living life as a Christian, as a believer. All right, so we're just going to jump right into it. And our first point is the need for vision, the need vision. What is this, the need for it? Why is it something that is important for all of us as believers? That's where we get into Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 29. Also have it up on the screen too, because I'm impressive. Anyway, and humble. You know it. all right. Chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Here, prophetic vision, this verse can be used a lot of times in the context of here's my mission statement and here's a Bible verse, so you got to follow my vision. Now, I'm not doing that this morning. This verse, this prophetic vision that it's talking about is talking about a revelation of God's word. A prophetic vision, the revelation of what God is speaking, showing to you, to someone. Whether it's through the Scripture or if it's through an actual vision or if it's just an idea that he's planted in you or he's used somebody else to speak into your life, it's prophetic vision, the revelation. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. The casting off of restraint, self-control, things like that, it causes chaos. In this case, it's talking about moral failure. Imagine this society and culture with zero prophetic vision. Some days I wonder if we're there. The moral failure and chaos that could be caused with zero, zilch, revelation of God's word. It's almost like if I asked you, what would your life be like without church, without being able to read the Bible and have God speak to you through it? What would that be? The moral failure and struggle and chaos. This is the need for prophetic vision, the need for vision. The need is it helps us and it helps others to not cast off restraint and fall into moral chaos. My second point is receiving the vision. We're going to jump to another place in Scripture in Acts chapter 10. See, the need for vision is important. And now I'm going to get to an example of this, an example of it, and what it can do in your life and other people's lives, the not just the need, but what happens now when vision comes, when prophetic vision, revelation comes. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, bam. Anyway, sorry. I won't do that every time I change the slide. It's just exciting. Just bam. Anyway, verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. And there came a voice. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Manlier words have not been spoken to this day. I'm just going to get a t-shirt that just says, "Rise, kill and eat." I mean, you know, that's what I'm talking about. That should be a slogan for something. My goodness, if I ever start an outdoor company. Anyway, but Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time. "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. This is the moment the vision was received. For Peter, this is a moment where he saw a vision. This was a literal vision in front of him, a trance, and he saw the heavens open up and the sheet fall over the earth. Whatever blanket that is, maybe will help me sleep better at night. Anyway, that's just a side note. I can only imagine how nice it'd be. But then it says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," because he was hungry. But no, I don't eat unclean things, uncommon. Like, no, I don't do that. I'm a vegan. No, okay. But God says to him, "What God has made clean, do not call common." See, because the interesting thing that's about to happen is the vision in action. See, back then there was the Gentiles, and you didn't associate the Jews and the Gentiles. You didn't associate. There's no crossing paths. There was none of that. There was no congregating with them. There was no going into their house. There was no, like, I can only imagine if there's a house fire. Like, you just, okay, sorry, you're a Gentile. See you later. You just keep walking? Anyway, sorry. These things that I think about when I read Scripture. Back to it. Maybe a four-point sermon, but there's rabbit trails, so you're going to have to bear with me. See, the Jews and the Gentiles, they couldn't congregate. They couldn't cross this cultural barrier. But see, what was about to happen was Peter. The vision was about to be put into action. Acts 10:39. "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree." He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the sacrifice that Jesus made. He's preaching the gospel. "But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." He's preaching the gospel. He's talking about him dying and then being resurrected. Now, who is he preaching this to? Gentiles. In their home. The line that was not to be crossed. The people that you were not to associate with. See, Let me remind you of the vision. What God has made clean, do not call common. The Gentiles, God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for everyone. There was no boundary. There was no line. And who God has made clean through the sacrifice of Jesus, do not dare call them common. That vision to Peter about food was really about the Gentiles. Was really about the Gentiles. He was going to bring him, tell him, rise, go preach the gospel to these people. Whoa! That's an unclean people group. We don't mess with that. No, I can't do that. But God said in the vision, next is the outcome of the vision. See, why vision is important, why we need vision to receiving the vision, when the vision has happened, when God revealed it to Peter, and then the vision in action, he was preaching the gospel to Gentiles. Oh my goodness. And now the outcome of that, Acts 10:44-45. While Peter was still saying these things, preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. See, there's vision in your life. There's a calling, there's a vision, there's a revelation for you, for me, that we are being called to, that God is showing us. And when we receive it, acting in obedience to it, the outcome, God gives the increase. Some plant, some water, Scripture tells us. Some plant the seed, some come by and water it, but God's going to make it grow. Peter planted the seed, and God gave the increase, even to the Gentiles. The vision in our life, what we can be called to do, what can be revealed to us as Christians, it's not always some big, huge thing. There's moments where, you know, it could be just life-changing. I remember when I was at Spencer Lake Youth Camp in like 7th or 8th grade. I forget the year, okay? It's a really long time ago. That was a joke. I'm not that old. You can laugh. Started making me feel insecure, like, oh, yeah, he's right. That was a really long time ago. Anyway, I was up at the altar, and I remember, I don't remember what the altar call was for, but I remember just being up at the altar, and God gave me a vision. And this is one of the times in my life, there haven't been many, but one of the times in my life where it was like literally watching a movie almost. I was like, this is sweet. Can I DVR this or something? Anyway, but I remember it. I remember it was me as an adult, older, and I was walking across a stage and I was preaching, and there was kids all over the altar bowing down, praying to God. That was what he showed me. And that was when I first experienced the call to ministry. Like, that's what I was supposed to do, youth ministry. That was the moment. And I remember experiencing that and just being bewildered. Not long after that, I went home, and I definitely was not living a perfect life. I had my struggles, even in 7th and 8th grade and on. But I remember I went home and God started to reveal something in me through reading scripture. And I remember I was writing it down and I was like, okay, so this scripture says this, but then in this scripture it says this. And things started to connect. It was like a connect the dots thing. And all of a sudden these scriptures started to fit together. And I was like, what in the world? And he says this and this means that and he's calling it to this. And I remember I wrote this whole thing out and I was like, oh my goodness, this is a sermon. I was like, whoa, this is a revelation. And I remember I showed my dad and, you know, I was really young and he took it and he's like, you know what, this is really good. And he took it and he put his own little, you know, pastoral daddy spin on it. And he preached it on a Sunday in this church. I remember thinking, whoa, God revealed something to me, and it was used. And then I went through high school, you know, pursuing what I wanted to pursue. Thought I was going to be a business owner, entrepreneur. Then I thought, oh, maybe a pharmacist. And then I found out they have to take calculus, and I gave up. And, yeah, algebra was, that's the Mac. Cut it there. Anyway, Alg 2 was a struggle, but we made it, barely. I remember I got to the end of my first semester senior year, end of my second semester of senior year, and God revealed something else to me. And it wasn't in a vision. It was just kind of like as I was walking up to the school, and I thought, and it was one of those things where it's you think it, and you're like, yeah, I'm not that smart. There's no way I came up with this on my own. This is God. Not that I think I'm not smart, just not that smart. And he said to me, he's like, what impact are you leaving on your school? And I was thinking, wow. You know, like he said, 2 years down the road, if you come back and you ask kids, what do they say about Brock Williamson? What are they going to say? I'll be honest, at that point, I was a little afraid of what they'd say. Some of them. I wasn't some awful kid, but I definitely wasn't great. And it was that moment that all of a sudden I was like, well, this is my last chance. And I started living my second semester senior year differently. Because at that point, second semester senior year, I hadn't applied for scholarships, didn't apply to any schools, nothing. And if that's really late, by the way, it's... I knew kids that they were writing scholarship stuff junior year. I was like, well, I can't write. No, I'm kidding. I can't. But I remember I just started to live differently, look at things differently, feel differently, seeing other students wondering, man, what are they going through? It just started to change. My mind started to change, and I started trying to be nicer. And talking to people and getting to know people. And my locker was kind of in the druggy section. And so, hey, if that's where I'm at, I got to talk to them. So I'd talk to them and be friends with them and just, I don't know. They'd offer for me to go with them on a smoke break at lunch. And no, I'm good. You know? And just remember living this, and I would even have teachers. I would have teachers come up to me and be like, hey, are you doing okay? Yeah. Well, because we see you hanging out with so-and-so. We know that, and I was like, I didn't say it at the time, but I was like, good golly, you guys write off students like this? They thought I started doing drugs because I was hanging out with kids that did drugs. Now, okay, that could be a fair assumption most of the time, but I mean, I was just trying, I was hanging out with them. I was rubbing shoulders with them. They needed it because guess what? They were the unclean. But God has called them to be clean. And he gave me a vision to leave a bigger impact on that school than just me trying to be good at basketball. He put it in my heart to just leave a bigger impact, be nicer, try and leave a good legacy in just that short period of time in my second semester. He called me to that. He revealed that to me. And I tried. And I did a lot that second semester that I could say I'm proud of. That was my favorite year of high school because of the second semester. There's vision for you. There's revelation for you. And if you're thinking to yourself right now that, well, you know, I've never really had vision or revelation, so I'm not really sure. I'll help you out. I got two. This is for everybody. I believe it's in Titus. It tells us how the older women are to train the younger women and the older men to train the younger men. There you go. That was it. There's no big revelation on that one. Pretty straightforward. Volunteer in the kids' ministry. Help us out with youth. Or just pour, you know, some of you older couples that have been married forever. Take a young couple and just have a meal with them or something. There's your revelation. That's for everybody. Pour into them. Reach out to them. Reach out to them. You know, people want to blame millennials, my generation, younger generations. You want to blame us for all these different things. You raised us. Don't leave us out to dry now. Don't give up on us. I'm tired of people telling me. I see it all the time on social media and just hear it from people that they complain about this younger generation. Then pour into them. It's right there in Scripture. You want to see a difference? Be the start. Man. See, it's good when we receive the vision, but don't forget there was the vision in action. And in that action, the outcome will be there. But understand, it's not like, oh, the next hour it's going to be different. It takes a while to grow crops. It takes a while to take a burned down house and rebuild it. You want the second one? The Great Commission. Earlier, I had a little mental moment where I had to go to Justin, and I was like, is it the Great Commission or the Grand Commission? I was like, your commission if you choose to accept it. Anyway, no, this is not choosing to accept it. This is your call. This is part of the vision. And see, when we don't see the vision, that's called being blind. And if you choose not to see either of these two that I'm sharing with you that we are all called to as people, as Christians, then you're being blind. I'm just going to be honest. I've had those moments in my life where God takes the scales right off. And all of a sudden I see something and I'm, whoa, how did I miss this? But go and make disciples of all nations. It's the Great Commission. That's a revelation. There you go. It's straightforward. Reach the lost. Reach the people that are hurting, because guess what? Like I said in Proverbs, like I read in Proverbs, without prophetic vision, there's moral failure and chaos. You want to know why some days you look at our culture and our society and you wonder, why are they falling into moral failure and chaos and absolute insanity? Maybe it's because us as the church have not been pushing our prophetic visions. No, I'm not saying go around and start slapping people with the Bible. Build relationships with people outside of these walls to be a witness by the way we live. Inviting them to, I don't know, the corn roast. It's a great opportunity. Like, like I said, food. I mean, it doesn't get us. I'll be honest, even if it gets to the point where you got to tell them, like, hey, even if you just show up for the food afterwards, because guess what? Then they're going to be able to sit down with you. And you can build on the relationship. And they could see what God's people are really about. And the love and the family atmosphere that we can provide. That's why I say fill up the room. Put them in the fellowship hall and put on the live stream, whatever it may be. We'll pack it in with chairs. Have all sorts of people run out of food. I mean, that'd be a tragedy, but still. The call, the vision is right there. If you feel like, man, I've been missing the call. I haven't seen it. God hasn't spoken to me. There you go. There's two that he spoke right to you. The other thing is that if you want revelation and vision and voice in your life, a revelation of God's word, you got to know it. And not just memorizing 750 scriptures. I mean, you're not in Bible quiz, so you can cheat. I'll be honest with you. I've been in youth ministry now for 5 years-ish. Around there. I've preached a lot of sermons in my short time doing this. I can't tell you how many times I had to Google a Bible verse. I'll be honest. I'm a pastor, but sometimes I'm like, what, where, Google. I'm getting the word. I'm using it to have revelation of his voice and his word and to know his voice more. You got to know him. There's a phrase I said a couple weeks ago when I preached last after we came back from camp, and it was, when you pray more, you pray more. Really philosophical. The more you pray, the easier it becomes to pray. The longer you can pray, the more you pray about, the easier it is to have a conversation. The same way in knowing his voice, the more time you spend getting to know him, more time you spend in the spirit, the more time you spend reading, knowing it, pursuing him, spending time in prayer, the easier it is to hear his voice. The more in tune we are. God's given you vision, a calling, revelation. I mean, it's why we're here at church. It's why we preach. It's why we preach. It's revelation that's shared with you to challenge you, to transform you, to edify you, to go and put the vision into action. At camp this year, I thought I was just, you know, having a really good idea. But then, you know, it was another one of those moments where it's like, you know, I just don't often have great ideas like that. So I think it may have been God. And I'll be honest with you, I knew it was about a week ago. Why? Because when I was at camp, God put it in my heart and, you know, kind of gave me a vision. It wasn't like the movie type. It was just kind of like a picture. But I just imagined it. Maybe it was even from memory. But right down at our little intersection by Walmart. Our intersection by Walmart. Now there's you know, homeless people, or maybe not homeless, but pretend to be homeless people. I don't know. It's not my job to justify that. It's my job to just help. But the next time I saw a person there, I was going to pick them up and if they wanted, and not just kidnap them, no, pick them up and take them to Culver's and buy them a meal and sit and talk with them and then either bring them back or bring them wherever I could take them on a quarter tank of gas, because that's usually when I'm around. And then, you know, a little while ago, I was... On I was really busy on a Monday, my day off, really busy, going to the gym, then going to go home and clean. If you know me, you laugh. And so I was driving home from Anytime Fitness. It's where I go. And I was coming back from a workout, and I see a guy sitting at the intersection. And I was like, oh boy. Oh boy. There was a long conversation of me just saying, oh boy, over and over again, really. I was like, oh boy. You know, and then there was the conversation, well, I don't have a lot of money right now, God. He's like, yeah, that seems to be a common problem. But we're not talking about that right now. I was like, oh, bummer. Oh. You sure we don't want to talk about me for a little bit as I just cruise right through? Just another minute and we're going to make it. And then the light turns red. And I'm like, yeah, well, now I get to sit and think. I was like, oh, man. I don't have enough money to take him to Culver's, so. He's like, so what? Walmart's right there. I was like, oh, come on. So I turn left and I go to Walmart. Go into Walmart and still, oh boy, the whole time. We'll say oh boy. And I went to the deli section and they got these chicken wraps, the Southwest chicken wrap, the barbecue chicken wrap. They're $3 or something. I'm like, oh, okay. So I pick up two. And I go over to where, like, the smoothie drinks are, and I grab two of those. So I figured if he's homeless, he's probably going to need some vitamins, as my mother would say. In America, we say vitamins. And he's going to need some of those. Don't want him to get scurvy. And so that was my thought process. I'm sorry. Nobody struggled with scurvy forever, I know, but that was my thought process at the time. I was like, I'm getting him chicken. I don't know how long he's been homeless. Maybe he hasn't had fruit in like a decade. I don't know. Or vegetables. I don't know. So I pick up two of those and I pay for them with the money I don't have. And I park at the back of the Walmart parking lot and I walk down to the corner. And he gets up, he's pretty excited. And I was like, do you mind if I sit and eat with you? He's like, yeah, sure. And he's scarfing it down and I talk to him. His name was Jason. He's been on the road for 3 years. He's from Detroit. He's coming out to visit some friends in Lafarge. And he doesn't have a car. He's been traveling for all those 3 years as he's been homeless. So he's got some tickets in Detroit that he hasn't paid yet. And he does odd jobs, but when you get this far out, it's hard to find odd jobs. And as he was holding this sign that said food or money, he said, man, nobody's given me food yet. And all I've been wanting is food. And I could tell by the way he was eating it. And just talking to him, getting to know him, and sat on the sidewalk. A hot day, having a little picnic with a homeless guy named Jason. And before I left, I asked, is it okay if I pray for you? He's like, yeah, sure, brother. I was like, all right. And I prayed for him. Nothing crazy. Just that somebody would help him, somebody else. Would come by and be gracious enough to help him, that God would protect him, and that God would provide. And then I picked up the garbage and went back to my Jeep, and I drove home. Wasn't some crazy moment of his foot grew back or something. Not that he was missing any feet. Some teeth, but no feet. Or he had feet. not no feet, but not a great salvation prayer moment either. I didn't preach the gospel. I just sat and had lunch with him. Maybe next time I'll be a little more bold. Maybe I'll get that salvation prayer. Maybe the next guy's going to lose and not have a limb. But, sorry, I'm really stuck on that. But it was something that God gave me at camp. A call, a vision, a revelation. And though I struggled and battled, I did put the vision into action. And I'm praying the outcome goes good for him. See, there's a vision for you. A calling for you. A revelation for you. I gave you two this morning, so maybe you just jump on those while you wait for another one. But maybe there's something you were called a long time ago, and you just put it off. Well, it ain't too late. Doesn't matter how old you are. Your calling's now. See, he didn't tell Peter, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Walmart. Not Walmart. I want you to go, yeah, to Walmart. Why not? I want you to go to Walmart, buy some camo, buy some scent lock, buy a Target, go to Matthews and get a bow. Get some arrows, get some hikers, make sure you're all decked out, shoot the target for like 2 weeks, get sighted in. Then I want you to get a deer stand, go sit out in a tree for 2 months from 5 a.m. till 5 p.m. or, well, some of you people like my dad, 12 at night. You can't see. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you got lost. Don't tell them. Well, we live stream. Yeah, recording. Bummer. As long as he doesn't fall again. Anyway, but he didn't tell Peter to go through this some ordeal. He said, rise, kill, eat. Caveman. He said, rise, kill, eat. It wasn't some big, long, drawn-out process. It was, here's the vision. And as he continued on his journey, it was there. God will equip you as he calls you. That is not an excuse for us not to train. That is not an excuse for us not to be prepared, to know his word, to pursue becoming better. It's no excuse, but what it does do is squash the fear. Squashes the fear of not being sure that that calling is really for you. That vision is really you. It is. If you feel it, do it. Go for it. Because I'll be honest, as I've pursued this in my own life, I'll let you in on a secret. There is no there's no better way to make a mistake than when you're pursuing God. I'm not talking like a sin mistake. I'm talking like as you pursue God and you're stepping out of the boat and you're going to walk on water and you just sink to the bottom like a rock, you know, it's not that bad. You're pursuing God. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you. He's going to guide you through it. Even when you fall down, he tells us he'll pick us back up. Pursue your calling. The vision. Somebody in here has got to have that little knot. That little, ooh, I remember when I felt like I was supposed to do this. Ah. Pursue the vision. Pursue God now. Because what is the point in studying after a test? There isn't one. You prepared before. Your vision, your calling is now. Pursue it. Go after it. Chase it. Put it into action. Some plant, some water. God will give the increase in your vision. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.